Someone was asking about maybe emotions in the body or all the different things that happen in the body, maybe energetically. The body, I've heard a number of times, maybe Philip Moffat say this, the body is a storehouse. And you know how emotions can get stored there, and trauma and stories and old grief and even something we sometimes name karmic knot, and that might refer to something even transpersonal, coming from another life, who knows, that is hard to explain. So sometimes it's not, we can feel things and it's not, there's no story to it. Or yesterday in one small group we were talking about the kind of existential angst that can sometimes like be experienced as maybe pressure on the chest. And in retreat, when we get more still, sometimes these things are, you know, are revealed, or get intensified. And so it's good. That's why partly maybe there is the walking, but the mindful movement is a good stretching, in a way, physical stretching, but it's also moving the emotional body, you know. And you can do this also in your room, you know. Do gentle stretch, or almost like almost dancing, something like this to help. Because when there's many hours, like a week like this, of many hours like this, emotion can get all like intensified and rigidified in body. And sometimes there's release also happening. You know, there could be trembling or different kinds of things that can happen. And, you know, can we let it happen? Can it be known? How are we relating to it? Sometimes we want to know what's the story. Why is that? And sometimes we want to know. Can this be met with kindness, with space, if at all possible? Yeah, the body as a storehouse. I'm thinking also that today is a full day of practice, and the mind is, you know, the mind can play trick on us, you know. Often we start departing before it's finished, you know. And so I invite you to be careful with this, just aware, you know, if the mind starts activating itself like towards the exit, you know, there's a full day of exploration here possible. So it's very natural that, you know, the mind would engage differently at this point, but it's also possible to recognize this and kind of reset or remember, wow, precious day. I was talking about, you know, this first kind of wisdom, going from the maybe afflictive emotions, how to accompany oneself when they arise, in the middle of them, and maybe cultivating different qualities in the midst of the challenging ones, and this move of, from the five hindrances of restless, worry, agitation, lethargy, sloth and torpor, or aversion, fear, desire. Stop, Pascal, stop. Don't say more. Well, there was just doubt left. And I as well put it in there. This move from the five hindrances to, in the fourth foundation, is presented as the seven factors of awakening. It's one way to talk about this, or the fourth noble truth, if it rings a bell to you, is a way to, you know, go from the clinging mind to the non-clinging mind. And I just want to say a few words about these seven factors. We won't get into it completely. It's a rich field, but just to drop it here today as maybe inspiration or elements of curiosity for the practice. And the Buddha has a beautiful image he uses with these. He says, in the same way that when it rains, the rain falls down, it's very natural for the droplets to fall, the drops of water of rain to fall down. And when they fall in the mountain, naturally they will, when they fall on the ground, they will go towards, they will continue to go down, will join together in the stream very naturally, and the stream will join a river, and very naturally the river will join the St. Lawrence River. And I'm translating from Pali here. And very naturally the St. Lawrence River will end up in the oceans. Very natural. And in the same way, it's very natural that when we give attention to something, anything, body, breath, emotions, pleasure, displeasure, silence, step, when we give attention, sati, very, very naturally, curiosity will arise. And the contact with a higher quality or high quality contact with something, curiosity will naturally be developed, cultivated, invited. As, you know, as the rain falls in the mountain, comes down in the stream, river, ocean. In the same way, attention will lend itself to the arising of curiosity. The word in Pali is Dhamma Vichaya, investigation of phenomena. That's pretty much what we've been talking about, being curious about phenomena, human nature. Very naturally, when we pay attention, curiosity in time will arise. Very naturally, very, very naturally, when curiosity arises, energy arises. Very natural. Curiosity is an energizing factor. Very naturally, when there's curiosity, energy arises. When there's energy and curiosity, very naturally, joy arises. We could call this enthusiasm, curious joy. Very naturally, then the mind will find some calm, will stay with being curious, being in contact, and being curious about what it's meeting. It will stay. It won't get scattered. It will collect. And very naturally, it will find balance. And very naturally, insight will arise. And so this is what we're kind of exploring here. This, and you'll say, well, it's not that natural to me. Right now, you know, it's more like, but you know, we have to have a larger view here. You know, very naturally, you've seen this, I'm pretty sure, during this retreat at some point, that suddenly, you know, there was something, often it's with the contact with nature, you know, that there's a qu- quality of presence a little higher or deeper, or, you know, intimacy with something in nature. Be, I've been named a few times here, be and flower, and the presence of being present to that encounter of be and flower. Suddenly, wow, this, even there could be ah that was described, so we're in that field where things are, you know, this quality of presence that is kind of engaged very naturally. We don't have to say like, hey, really connect with the bee and flower, you know, like there's a moment where suddenly, or there's just this breeze, or something else. It can be in nature, it can be inside the body, with the breath or something else. And so this is something that we're cultivating, even if it's very messy and uneven and we lose it completely, still, this is what we're tending towards. This is the direction. This is what we're inviting or evoking. And so it's good to maybe know a little bit of that kind of, I don't know if it's progression. We could also talk about it as a, you know, a children's seesaw. Seesaw? Yeah. And the part of the art of practice is the balancing of what we call the energizing factor and the calming factors. And so in these seven factors, there's one that is central. Guess what? It is mindfulness, sati. So it's like the point right there, at the tipping point, the mindfulness. And on one side, there's three qualities that are energizing: curiosity, energy itself, and joy. They energize. And there's three that are calming. So I just spoke to them first in the linear way. Now I'm talking about them in a balancing way. And so three are energizing. Curiosity brings energy to the mind, and maybe effort, energy itself, engaging energy. You know, if you fall asleep and you stand up, you engage energy, you're going to find the energy, it's going to be energizing. Joy does that, bring energy. And the calming factor are calm, tranquility itself. When the mind has a little less to say, is more receptive maybe. An image would be maybe a lake without some wind, you know, very quiet lake. Sometimes we get to experience this as human beings, sometimes not at all, that's not what's there. But sometimes there is calm, it can be recognized. And collectedness of mind, it's the staying. So the mind is not scattered, the mind is gathered around something. Just the silence, just the awareness itself. So the calm is a calming factor for sure. Concentration or collectedness, gatheredness of mind is a calming factor, and so is equanimity, balance of mind, non-reactivity. Would you agree that non-reactivity, not getting worked up about things, which is really natural, but the absence of it, the being, oh, this is how it is right now, oh, that's not what I wanted, oh, let me stay here. And so the art of practice, partly for a meditator, is to balance the calming factors with the energizing factor. So cultivating them and balancing them. If there's too much calming factor, sometimes we can see it physically. It goes like this. Really calm, very calm meditation. You know? And so we need to bring the energizing factor by opening the eyes, asking a question. What's known? What can be clearly known to help the mind perk up a little bit? If there's too much energizing factor, well, you have a good example of this here. I don't tend to fall asleep. But if I have imbalance, usually it's because the energizing factor is too strong. And so if there's too strong energizing factors, the mind will get very discursive, very agitated, you know, and it's good to recognize this, no judgment. How could we bring calm here? How can there be more calm here? So maybe reducing the field of awareness to just the belly, just the steps, stopping in the walking, you know, so playing with this a little bit. So that could be a way, kind of lens to put on as we practice. Oh, so if you try to remember the seven, it's too much. Anyway, for me, it's too much. I'm like sitting here, like, okay, seven factors, you know, it's way too much. But something I can remember and I can bring to life, to relationships, to learning something, is this just remembering two. Calm and curiosity. Can there be some calm and curiosity in the middle of this storm here? In the middle of this beautiful situation, you know, instead of, oh my God, it's so beautiful, it's so beautiful. Where's my camera? You know, it's so beautiful. Could there be a part of calm here and connection and curiosity to help me experience beauty or challenge? To really hear what the other is saying. Can there be a part of curiosity and calm here? To do something I don't want to do but have to do. Oh, could I bring some curiosity here? About this, you know, instead of maybe aversion or lethargy. Oh, I have to do this again. Oh, could there be some curiosity about it? Sometimes there can, sometimes there cannot, you know. But sometimes we can call this, remember this, and invite this quality in us. I'm just putting in different words what we've been doing here this week. Nothing new. It's just a different framing. And so if it resonates for you, you could use this along the day today. Oh, is there some curiosity here? Some calm? What does it mean for me? You know, these words, or are there other words that would work better for me that are in this kind of the vicinity of these energizing factor, calming factor? Let's play with this a little bit. Don't have to do perfectly. Sometimes it's not possible to do well at all, you know. And sometimes it's surprising. We think it's going to go well and it doesn't. And sometimes we think it's not going to go well. And somehow, and what's well anyway? It's a big debate there. And sometimes it's not what's required. What's required here is maybe tenderness, compassion. And maybe that's calming. Friendliness. Or forgiveness. Beginner's mind. Discovering the environment as if for the first time. we've never been here now before. It's the first time we're here now. Curiosity. Allowing the environment to reveal itself, or the body to be experienced just as it is now. Maybe noticing the state of the mind. Now look at that. There is this quietness there, or its absence. There is friendliness here. Maybe the absence of it just now. Relaxed and awake. Tranquil and alert. keep calmly knowing change. Keep calmly knowing change.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.